Hello, welcome back to another episode of the show. We're on episode 43. James, you're back for another evening to host with me.
I am back, yes, yeah. Episode 43, and we've got a fair bit to talk about.
Yes, we certainly do. But first, let's do what we usually do. How has your week been? What's been happening?
It's been all right. It's just your average week, really. I haven't done a lot of gaming I've done a bunch of toy buying, to be honest with you, and game buying, but I'll get into that. Besides that, I did play some Turtles in Time yesterday on the Super Nintendo. Put up a little bit of a video on the Facebook page of just how far I got it. I only played with two lives and I did okay. I got up to, you know, the Technodrome, then I died. Then I'm like, yeah, that's it.
Good for me.
Yeah, I'll try and finish it. I'll improve on my score, and I like to beat that level in just the two lives that you get given and without using continues. As you know, I've been purchasing a bunch of this Spider-Man animated series, so I continued on it. I showed you like a couple of months ago when we went out for breakfast that I got from the giant toy fair, like the Kingpin and Black Cat. I've added Dr. Octopus and...
Are these the new release ones that you see on the park? No.
No, they're the ones from 94.
I was going to say, because I saw the Shocker today.
I've actually got him from the 94 series.
Oh, cool.
Still on the card, which I'm happy about. I'm still trying to, you know, it's a matter of finding them for an okay price, because they're clearly going up now, being that they came out in 94, 95, 96 to 97.
they're a little bit old now, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. You can't just walk into the store and buy them now. And since you were speaking about the X-Men Legends game on the last episode, I ended up getting it on GameCube, one and two. So, yeah, we'll just wait for that to come by when it comes through in the mail. But
what does a copy of X-Men Legends go for these days? Do you mind me asking?
Yeah, the first one's probably like on the GameCube, it's like 30 to 35. On the PlayStation 2, it's like 15.
Okay.
So there's a big difference in the price. And number two is a lot more expensive. And I got it on the cheap end, and that was like around the 50 mark. But I'm seeing them go for like 80 to 90.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about games at the moment. I haven't really been involved in any collecting lately. The only thing that I got this week, which is not really related, well, it's gaming, I guess, is a Wii controller, one of the Motion Plus Wii controls.
Yeah, you were mentioning that one corroded.
Yeah, so I had two, and I left the batteries in them during the reno, and they just corroded through, like completely snapped the, what do you call it, the little steel T for connect to the battery, whatever they're called. So I purchased one of those. I got a pink one cheap, so who really cares? But like, I was just surprised by how expensive things are now, almost to the point where it's laughable. Like, you probably saw on my Instagram, I put a photo of Tenkaichi 3 on the Wii.
Yeah.
That's like a $200 game now.
I think the PlayStation 2 version is even more expensive.
It is. It's like, I saw it for $50 on PS2. I'm like, well, do I buy the controller? Because the controller was $40.
Yeah.
Motion Plus one. Or do I buy a copy of the PS2 one? And I started going into the PS2 one. I'm like, oh, hang on a second. This is just for the box and the manual.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at the game and it's like $200 and $300. I'm like, really? Like, I suppose, because I know I beat the second one on the Wii, but the thing is, I've got the third one on the Wii, so it was just a matter of buying the controller and I can play it again. I swear I had a Wii controller, like a pro controller for the Wii, but something's telling me it was for the Wii U, which I know I have one, but I for some reason I thought I had one for the Wii as well, but can't seem to find it, or it doesn't exist.
So I
got that controller just for the sole purpose of playing that. So, but yeah, I was just sort of looking at different games, and it's almost like everything that's ever been released just has a hefty price tag on it.
That's, you know, what I was saying, yeah, like the Pokemon things, because I was been watching a bunch of videos on YouTube, and that's what I was saying, that your 3DS and 2DS consoles, they've skyrocketed in price, like from what they were.
But are they selling, though? That's the question.
Yeah, they are selling, though. That's the thing. Like, people are getting all nostalgic for Pokemon again.
Mm. Maybe because they've just got so bad in quality.
Potentially,
during the week, I actually played, you know, I think I mentioned to you, I'm not sure if I said it on the show, that on my Switch, I think it was the Switch, I got a Switch Lite, the one that doesn't play on the TV, and transferred all my games over, but the Pokemon file didn't transfer over.
But
it's still on the old Switch, which I play in the dock on the computer, on the TV.
Yep.
So I played that for about an hour the other morning, and I was thinking to myself, gee, the graphics are terrible. And the game is just shocking.
Yeah.
This is Pokemon Violet. And I was just like, this is just crap. This is bottom of the barrel. Like, it probably sold millions of copies, but this is just really bad.
It's disappointing, isn't it?
I just was cruising around, and now there's things I like about it. Like, I really like the Pokemon Mankey, and he's following me around. But why am I riding, like, a legendary motorbike at the start of the game? And, like, the graphics, like, I know it's not all about graphics. Like, we grew up in the 8-bit era, but you just have a little level of expectation when you see, you know, Legend of Zelda or, you know, even Resident Evil 4 on the GameCube looks better than this game.
Yeah,
I agree. I was just really disappointed, and it almost ruins the experience because you're cruising into the city, and it's very pixelated and square, like squared, you know, like PS1 games, how you look at a circle and it's just made up of squares, which is essentially graphics, but it really stands out. I don't know if that's because there's so much content in the game, but it's got, like, for me, it was sort of a Mortal Kombat 11 on the Switch sort of vibe. It's just really poor. And for something that's, it's like a Metallica album, it's just going to sell millions of copies no matter what. They could just put out, like, absolute garbage, which they have for the last couple of albums, but they could put out garbage and it would still sell. And that's like Pokemon. They just make up a title, Pokemon, you know, Gray, put it on the shelf, it's going to sell. But this is just rubbish.
Yeah, well, we were so hyped when, well, we're hearing it's going to come to home consoles. It's always been on handhelds.
Mm.
And then Sword, I was extremely disappointed with. Like, I beat it, but I found it no challenge whatsoever. It just held my hand through the whole game. It's like, here, let's go here, this way. This.
Yeah, we'll give you a boost. The thing is, Puff, I didn't really look. It wasn't a great game. I think I played Sword. Yeah, I played Sword. It wasn't great, no. But I did enjoy it because it was the first one on the Switch, other than Pokemon. What was it? Pokemon Pikachu?
Oh, yeah.
No, I played Pokemon Pikachu, and I actually really enjoyed that. I didn't really love the whole have to catch to level up thing, but it was very nostalgic because it is basically Pokemon Yellow on a modern system. A modern console, and then Pokemon Diamond and Pearl looks fantastic because it's sort of like a HD Game Boy Advance game or DS game in that case. But this one, you know, like, I almost gave Sword a pass. Like, I did give it a pass because I was like, okay, they're trying some new things. They're throwing some darts at the board. Let's see what they do with the next one. And then it's just garbage. It really is. It's so disappointing. And, you know, this game's been out for a long time now. Yeah, I just don't know. Like, it's one of the games, like, I feel like I should beat it because I'm such a fan of the series. But at the same time, you know, Pokemon is almost 30 years old now. It probably is 30 years old. I don't really know. But they sort of owe it to the fans to put out good, solid products, you know? I've got 100%. The Mystery Dungeon game, which is sort of a collection of a few rolled into one on the Switch, which I haven't played yet, and I've heard okay things about that Pokemon Arceus or something. I haven't played it. I've got it on the Switch, though. I've heard good things about that, but these, you know, main titles in the series should be the ones where you refer back to and go, yeah, when they did Sword, it was awesome because of A, B, and C. When they did Scarlet and Violet, it improved on this. They took the feedback and they go, okay, maybe we don't want Pokemon that are, you know, are ice creams. Yep. We want, you know, some proper content, you know. And it feels barren. It feels incomplete. And, you know, for the hour I played the other morning to try and get back into it, disappointing. Because it's like, you know, it's just like a magpie going at a shiny object. You can see something across the field shining at you, telling you, like, basically, come here. Like, where's the adventure in it? It's like a point and click.
Yeah. Once again, it's the hand-holding, and I can't stand games. I can't stand games like that.
Yeah. You know, so it's disappointing because I got it on release, and, I probably will give it a few more hours. It's sort of that and Dragon Ball Z Kakarot that I've been sort of circling through.
Mm-hmm.
Very limited time this week. I managed to get, you know, a good couple of hours into each. Both those series, you know, like, yeah. It's Yeah, I'll try to obviously complete it, but you know, I just don't want to keep doing this with games lately where I have time to play something and it's just really disappointing because it just makes it really not worth it.
No, yeah. I get where you come from. I get it.
You know, so that's that. But yeah, I played, as I said, I played a bit of that. I played a bit of Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. That's going pretty well. And also a bit of Mortal Kombat. I mean, sort of just continuing on with that with the story.
Yeah, good, good, good.
It's a pretty good game, I must say.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
And for just a couple of retro titles, I've been sort of having a crack at Donkey Kong 64.
Oh, good, yeah. Still playing it?
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, I'm torn between sort of stopping and going and getting the 64 cartridge because I know I'm like 3/4 of the way through the game.
Oh, yep.
Whereas I'm playing it again on the Switch. It's like, yeah, do I really want to go through all this again? And there was a lot of heartbreak when I was a kid because that game's bloody hard.
It's hard. So, and it's a decent-sized game too.
Yeah, so it's like, do you want to do... It's like the same game 4 times, basically, or 5 times. How many characters are there?
Yeah, yeah, there's so, 4. Yeah. Is there no, there's more. Kong, yeah, Frankie? There's maybe 5. Yeah. So there was Tiny Kong, which is like the big ape. And then you got... Not they weren't called. She wasn't called Dixie. It was Tiny, yeah. And Diddy and Donkey.
Not the guy.
Kitty and then Kong. You got the orangutan. I can't remember his name. Oh,
Lanky.
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 Yeah, I think 5.
Lanky, Dixie. No, Lanky, Tiny. Lanky,
Tiny. Diddy, Donkey.
Diddy, Donkey. And what's the...
And Tiny.
I already said Tiny. Tiny's the girl.
Tiny. Oh.
Isn't it like Kitty Kong or something?
Chunky Kong. Yeah.
Why didn't they just use Dixie Kong?
I have no idea.
Like, what went on in that meeting? Let's use a girl that looks exactly the same as her and then never speak of her again. Like, maybe they could have put her in the latest Smash Bros. Just to give it a bit of a revival.
Who knows?
Because then they had Dixie in that Tropical Freeze game.
Was she in it? Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was.
So what happened? Who are these other girls? Lanky, where's he been hiding? It's been like 20 years. He's awesome. I liked it.
Yeah.
He spins around and he claps his hands. I could do that.
Was he... Who had the purple balloons? And he had the orange balloons. Was it Tiny had the purple balloons that you had to collect and the purple bananas?
Green, maybe. No, green was... Oh, who knows, man?
Oh, who knows? It was... Come on, you're playing it.
Yeah, but I haven't got to that yet.
Okay.
I haven't got
still early days.
I'm like
still
literally just past the start menu. No, it's
just start.
I watched the opening sequences. Just it's very funny. But yeah, you know what I mean. Like why change the characters?
Yeah. Look, I have no idea.
Shall we deep dive into Donkey Kong and uncover the truth?
We should, but I don't know if my answers have why they changed it. I've got some background on Donkey Kong.
I don't think we'll ever know, will we?
Maybe it's online. I have no idea.
Maybe something we research through the week. Maybe we ask some rhetorical questions and then look at them during the week and come back in a few weeks and talk about them.
Maybe.
Talk about the answers. Well, anyway, let's while we're on Donkey Kong.
Let's
anyway,
talk
before we
about
move
it.
On, did you have anything more for the week that you were playing or doing?
No, I've been taking it easy this week. I've just been gearing down, ready for tomorrow. So when this recording is out, Spider-Man 2 will be out. I'll be playing that for you guys to listen to this. And can't wait.
Did you beat that Sea of Thieves game?
Yeah. I beat it a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, sorry, yeah. That's pretty cool.
That was an extremely good game. Yep.
I'm actually glad to hear that you're playing an RPG. It is an RPG, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is an RPG. It was like a turn-based RPG, pretty much like Pokemon, but you're not leveling up your characters. You level up yourself.
Right.
Yep.
But yeah, things are slowly getting set up here. You know, there's a couple of consoles that have been revived, ready to go. So who knows? This week I might actually have a bit more info on some games that I've played. But
good. You know, continue.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've been sort of making a mental note of things that I wanted to resume.
Yep.
Go ahead, sorry.
I believe I was speaking about it on the last episode, the Retron Square that actually came in the mail. I haven't unboxed it or anything yet, but that's in the collection now, so that's good. I can now go ahead and play Advance Game Boy Color and Game Boy as well on the big TV.
That's good. Yeah, I was hoping to maybe get one myself, but we'll just have to see. I am a bit cautious about bringing out anything like that with the kids.
Yep.
They just seem to want to destroy anything that's got value.
Yeah.
They just hunt it down. They're fun. So I think it'll be a little while, or it'll be after they go to sleep, that sort of stuff. So
Fair enough.
Yeah, but anyway. Anyway, let's talk about some Donkey Kong, hey?
All right. I'll start off with an introduction to Donkey Kong. Well, Donkey Kong is a video game franchise created by Shigeru Miyamoto and owned by Nintendo. It follows the adventures of a gorilla named Donkey Kong and his family and friends, consisting of various primates, which we just discussed. In the late 1970s, the Japanese company Nintendo shifted its focus from producing toys and playing cards to arcade games. In 1980, Nintendo released Radar Scope, a Space Invaders-style shoot-em-up. It was a commercial failure, and they put the newly established Nintendo of America in a financial crisis. Its founder, Minoru Arakawa, asked his father-in-law, the Nintendo CEO of Japan, Hiroshi Yamauchi, to provide a new game that could salvage the unsold Radar Scope cabinets. Most of Nintendo's top developers were preoccupied at the time, so they asked Shigeru Miyamoto, a first-time game designer, supervised by Gunpei Yoko, and they pretty much settled on a love triangle, like pretty much Popeye, Bluto, and olive oil, but they couldn't get the rights to the characters, so they came up with their own thing, and pretty much they named the character Donkey Kong Donkey to convey a stubbornness, and Kong to imply gorilla. Popeye became Mario, and in the first arcade, he was like Jumpman. He wasn't actually known as Mario. The other protagonist was Olive Oil, which became like Pauline in the arcade, and I would say then became like Princess Peach down the track.
Yep.
Yeah, she's always been the damsel in distress, and pretty much that was how we know of Donkey Kong, and that arcade game was a huge success. And Donkey Kong was released in 1981. It was followed by Donkey Kong Jr. in 82. And the kind of roles were then reversed. So Mario became the antagonist. Then there was Donkey Kong 3 in 83, which turned the whole game around and became like some sort of shooter. But I've never seen that game, so I'd can't really tell you what it's like. We had a console game before the games that we're going to talk about, Donkey Kong Jr. Math, that came out in about 83, and that's pretty much you have to put multiples, divides, pluses, subtracts together. I was going to buy it at that garage sale that we went to in Glen Iris.
Gee, that comes up a lot. Yeah,
it does. That guy had everything.
He did.
And then pretty much that game came out in 83 to 85. It depends whereabouts in the world you are. And they took a break from Donkey Kong for a while. And then we saw Donkey Kong Country in 94. And let's discuss some of these games here.
Well, they are they're definitely right in our
wheelhouse.
Yeah, they basically line up of our childhood pretty much more than any game, I'd say.
Yep, yep.
We had all three of the Donkey Kong Countries. Even the third one, which, you know, was late to the party and almost crossed over with the PS1 and 64, if I recall. It was very late on the system.
Yeah, so Donkey Kong Country came out in 94.
Yep.
Number 2 came out in 95. Number 3 came out in 96, all in a year from each other.
It's pretty crazy. That's, you know, these days you wait like 5-6 years to get the second game, and you know they're busting them out in, you know, and especially new characters and stuff. It's not even like you play as Donkey Kong in the second, like the two sequels. So
no, like the way they did it, because pretty much you're just the first two Donkey Kong and Diddy, and then in the second one you're trying to rescue Donkey Kong, and then it's like it keeps going like that, and I think that's fantastic how they introduce the new characters. but then and you're trying to save another character from another game, and yeah
I think let's start on Donkey Kong 1, just some memories around that, you know.
Yep.
It was a very popular game, something that everyone had, but the things that stuck out to me is obviously the graphics at the time, being that pre-rendered Mortal Kombat sort of look. It definitely stood out because it was very unique to the game.
I agree.
So I just remember being like captivated by how they, you know, it was sort of like a Sonic and Tails situation. You can follow, and you know, you can switch character mid-game, or yep. mid-level, sorry, and there's just all the little secret areas to find. But I think the one thing about that game, and many people would agree, is just the music is top tier in terms yep. of just general. I mean, video games one thing, but it just seems to be extremely good compositions. Yep. You know, it's not even like, it's, yes, it's gaming music, but it's almost like you'd listen to it not knowing it's a game because of how fantastic it is.
Yeah, I believe it, from memory, David Wise might have composed the game from Rare. And that music, like, you just did the tune from the first level just from memory.
Yeah,
it's music that sticks with you.
Yeah, it's definitely something I've listened to in the car and just, you know, my headphones and things when I'm doing various things. But, you know, another aspect of the game that I found cool as a young man is how when you're just standing there, they sort of move around and interact. And I think, you know, Diddy Kong takes his hat off and stuff like that. And I thought that was really interesting. But it was one of those games where we would play it, and then we'd go to a friend's house and they'd be like, oh, do you know about this secret area? And you'd go, you know, get 3 emu tokens, ostrich tokens, sorry.
Yep.
And then, you know, all of a sudden you're in this secret level where you're collecting all these. And I was just like, wow, there's so much. It just felt so big. Although the game is quite small.
Yep.
You know, the first one, I don't know about you, but I find the first one to be fairly easy. But the second, and especially the third, I could never beat the second one, but I could beat the third one. But I went back and attempted the third. I know I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I attempted the third many years later and I sucked at it. I could not get anywhere near the last levels. Second one, same sort of thing. I could get to the last boss, but that was it. But the first one, no worries.
Yeah.
And you know that from when we played it in Japan together.
Like, I zoomed through until the snow world. Yeah. And then that's when it started holding me up a little bit, but that's pretty deep into the game. I believe there's only 6 worlds, so it's not the longest of games. Like, the worlds, they're not, you've only got like probably 7-8 levels, and you know, the boss battles, they're fairly straightforward as well.
I did see a video online on Instagram about this guy that was playing the minecart level.
Yep.
And it was like, he said, we can't, it's like a dad, he's like, he said, we can't go to bed until he passes the level.
Yep.
And it's like so late, I think it's early morning when he actually does it, and they just go absolutely crazy when he finishes it. It's like that one where you jump over the last guy coming towards you, and then you like roll through the little cave entrance.
Yeah.
I was like, that's like, just, you know.
Because I was playing it, like, I recorded it the first world, then the next night I actually played again, and I'm like, let's see how far I get. And that mine level caused me so much grief. I dropped so many lives, and you think you're getting right to the end, and then one of those things in the cart just comes out of nowhere and it just gets you.
Yep.
And you crack it because you know you're right at the end, you've already got Kong.
Yep.
And you're like, oh no,
he's coming.
I'm gonna do this again.
Yeah.
And you're trying to memorize where he was.
I'm very lucky to have a copy of that on when I went to Japan, because I missed the boat here. When we were actually, when, yeah, the second trip when we were there, I got a copy of the first game on the GBA.
Yep.
Which has like extra content in it.
Okay.
Because the 3 releases on the Game Boy Advance, someone came to me once, I don't know who, and they said, there's, did you know in the Super Nintendo version, if you do this, this, and this, there's actually, you know, like, you know how you collect the DK tokens in the second one and things like that?
Yep.
Go to different worlds. Well, they added on to that in the Game Boy Advance one. They actually added more content. And someone was trying to tell me it was in the Super Nintendo version, but it's not. It's only in the Game Boy Advance ones. So I got the first one. I don't think I got the second and third, but I did get the second and third on the SNES in the box, the Japanese ones.
Yeah.
I should have got the first one. I don't know why I didn't, but yeah. So it's good to have them on the Game Boy Advance because I think they play a bit smoother, although they're still fine on the SNES. So, but yeah, it's Yeah, I don't struggle too much with the first one, as I was saying. Maybe there's a couple of levels in that sort of industrial sort of world that's that sort of tie me up a bit. But yeah. Oh, there's also that one where you got to shoot through the barrels, through the air. That one can be tricky.
Yeah, it's all about timing.
Yeah. But like for me, it was one of the first games too that I felt the weather really impacted the game. And like you were saying earlier with the snow level, how it sort of pushes you back and you slide and then you've got the levels of rain. You just feel like there's more going on.
Yeah.
Hidden challenges.
That's what I had about it. You feel slippery.
Yeah. And the music in all the levels just has that sort of eerie feel, like the ones where you're in the rock caves and it's like sort of that, like the dripping noises and stuff like that. It just really immerses you in the feel of what they were going for.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, there's just a lot of little things that I enjoy about it. When you beat a world with a certain character, it's, you know, it's either Diddy or Donkey's face on the world.
Yeah, that's great detail.
Funky Flights is a cool aspect to move around the map and things like that. So, yeah, I don't know when we got it. I'm guessing we got it sort of near release. I don't know why we got it. Can't really remember, but I guess everyone sort of had it because we didn't have an NES and we didn't know anything about Donkey Kong. So
I would have got it myself probably 95, I would say.
Yeah.
And that was a game that I always played at my mum's.
Mm.
There was a few other options, but that was always the go-to.
Yeah, I think I may be wrong, but I believe I got the third one for my birthday. But I may be wrong. It might be the second one. So just moving on to the second one, obviously, has a bit more of a well, you got anything on the first you want to say?
I've got my original copy that I had as a kid. I also purchased Donkey Kong 1 in Japan when we went.
That's right.
I absolutely love the game. It's one of my favorite games of all time just because of the memories I had as a kid, and I still enjoy playing it to this day.
Okay.
But let's continue to number two.
Number two is my favorite of the three.
Yep. It's a lot of people's favorite.
Yeah, the music, again, is top-notch. I liked, as a kid, I really liked Pirates and things like that, and it has, like, a pirate feel, at least for the first sort of bit of the game.
Yep.
And I found that to be really cool. And also having the two, I guess, younger characters resonated with me a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it made the game feel a little bit more cool. I don't know, that just, to me, I felt that way. When you jumped on the platform at the end, you know, he's got the guitar out and like had a bit of a fun vibe to it. I remember, I think our cartridge was taken somewhere and a friend of ours did. There's a section in the game right towards the end after you do the sort of rising, it's like a green poison water or something.
Yep.
There's a section towards the end of the game where you go through sort of a little walkway and Donkey Kong drops down and he's all tied up.
Yep.
And so our game was taken to a friend's house and returned, and I was told about this. I didn't see it because it had already been done. You could go through the section, but you couldn't see it again. Then I got to see it older, as I was older, and I got up to that section, and I was like, oh my God, that's so awesome how they like dangled the carrot. Like, there he is.
Yeah.
I remember feeling like, wow, what a really cool thing. Again, so yeah, I couldn't do the last boss. It's tough. He's like a pirate. King K. Rules. He's shooting guns at you, shooting like special beams at you.
I remember the boss.
I beat Tropical Freeze. That was a bloody nightmare. I'm sure I could do it, but
I'm sure you can if you put the time in.
You've got to really train up in these games, don't you? You've got to get the feel of the controls. You got to, you know, learn the game again. You can't just jump back in after 30 years away from it and go, here I go.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's some really, really cool. There's a band called Crazy Group Trio who do piano covers of retro games. They do pretty much the whole second game, and it's just amazing to listen to. It's really, really cool.
Okay.
I don't know if the actual track listing is what they name them, but yeah, they've got some pretty good covers of it, I must say. It's worth checking out.
Okay.
Yeah,
with number two, I never had it as a kid. I do have it now, and I've played it a few times. It is, overall, it is better than Country 1. Like, the animation's better. Just, I like the fact that with Dixie, you can use her hair to float through the air.
Yeah.
Like, I love that introduction. Like, with the first one, Donkey Kong, it was such a, like, he's a brute, slow mover. Jumping was an issue. Well, I love the fact that both characters are fast, and you had Dixie and she could just go the extra distance and you feel safe and secure making those jumps.
Yeah, you can like glide down to it or the rope. You can sort of time it when the guy's climbing up the rope. You can hang in the air for him.
Yeah. Like that character made such a gameplay change compared to the first one. And then it just got harder and the music fitted well. Like it was just such a different mood from the first one to this one.
Mm.
And like the traversing through like the levels, like you going through the ropes, you know, like crossing the rope section and bees are coming across and the guys, whatever they are, they're coming to kill you and you just got to time it perfectly and go left, right, left, right, left, right, make your way up. It was a challenging game, but...
Oh, it's a bloody nightmare. There's some, especially that level where you've got to go through the spiky roots with the Squawk the Parrot or whatever his name is.
Squawk, yep.
It's bloody tough. You got to like hang on the A button because you sort of drop as you flap and then you like glide down and... That was sort of a staple level for a lot of Super Nintendo games. They always, like Earthworm Jim 2 had one where you sort of got to swim through, I think you're inside something, I don't know. But you like got to, if you hit the, like Ninja Turtles on the NES, you hit the walls, you're done.
Yeah.
I don't know what, it's like they just look around at the games and go, what's everyone else doing?
Yeah, yeah.
How can we just screw with our player? but yeah, I find that game to be so challenging, but so rewarding. And just really, really crazy and just what like the levels, you know what I mean, they're just so interesting. Like there's a level where you're in like it's like a minecart level but you're on a roller coaster and there's a giant ghost pirate chasing you. Like what,
it's crazy. Isn't it? Yeah,
like what are they, imagine the meeting on that one, you know, like what they're coming up all this stuff and it's like what the heck, you know. So 1 minute you're in a swamp jumping on like alligators and they're going like rah, rah. And then you're, you know, doing that, so you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, so. I actually do. Yeah, when you think of it, it's like, okay.
There's a lot of content in those games, but it just feels like we didn't really get the world. Like, there's a lot of world building, but they don't really go into it. And it didn't feel like we got that later on, or we still have got it. I know we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves now, but we still haven't really even got a new Donkey Kong since 64 that's been, you know, every title we've got has been sort of its own thing.
Yeah, I don't want to get too far ahead. So should we cross over to the third one?
Oh, yeah, let's go to the third one.
Yeah, so as I said, it came out in 96, this one, 1 year after 90 Donkey Kong 2. And I only played this one at a friend's house. I believe they had it.
Mm-hmm.
I only had the first one. You said you had it back in the day, yeah?
Yeah, we got it on release, yeah. I remember now, where I was.
Was it Kid Kong?
When I got it. It was Kitty Kong, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Tiny Kong or something like that, yeah.
Yeah. This one didn't have that same charm as the other two did with me. Like, it felt like a different game. Just, was it with the rats and you got to get them to go at a certain time or else you can't go? It's been so long since
I've that is a thing. It introduced a lot of...
stop start elements.
It had like an overworld and you could travel around in your little boat.
Yeah, that's right. Remember that, yeah.
It had like, you know, a lot of those it was like the same stuff, but they added, look, it's no different to what 1 and 2 did with trying different things and crazy ideas and boss fights and levels and stuff. It's all fine. It just, yeah, just felt a little bit off. Maybe people were ready for Donkey Kong to come back in that one.
Yeah.
Because we lost Diddy Kong, who was a favorite, who'd been in two games,
yeah,
and then we hadn't seen Donkey Kong, who the game is named after.
Yeah.
Now you play, I'm guessing most people played the first one half the game with Diddy Kong at least, so it's really only at this point half a game that we've had Donkey Kong or Lady
true
Kong, the
whole that's game. Very true.
So maybe they were just like, where's Donkey Kong? Because I remember seeing the Nintendo Power at the time and it had Kitty Kong or whatever his name was on the front. And I just remember feeling like, why didn't they just bring back Donkey Kong? Why didn't they have the three of them?
Yeah. Look, I don't know. Yeah.
And it's just, like you said, you know, it's, we just did that. We just rescued Donkey Kong. Now he's called again. This guy's bloody useless. Now they got Diddy Kong. Like, how bad did it get?
Yeah, I know. You know what I mean? What happened?
How did you get caught? You just defeated him. Yeah. So, like, do you know what I mean? There's like the snowball throwing mini maps, mini games.
Yep.
All that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it did feel a bit different. It's also bloody hard. It is a tough, tough game.
No, that one was the toughest one, in my opinion, but it just didn't have that same, yeah, let's make our way through this game for my feeling of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I played a lot of it. And as I said, I did beat it, but I tried again years later and wasn't successful. But definitely, I don't mind it. It would probably be 2-1-3, but it's still fun. It's still enjoyable. And probably a game that has sort of drifted in time where it doesn't get spoken about really at all now. You get one and two, you get one a lot. You get two a fair bit, but three, not so much.
I agree.
Even the soundtrack, there's nothing that really comes to mind, you know, from that game that I'm like, oh, that was a really cool.
That was a banger.
That was a toe tapper. Yeah. I don't really have that feeling about it. So probably the least favorite of the Super Nintendo ones.
Yeah. Before we move on to a couple of other games, there was also Donkey Kong Land 1, 2, and 3 on the Game Boy. Did you play any of these?
No, but I got them all when we were talking about them on the show probably six episodes ago, which would have been many years ago. Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, I only played number one. I thoroughly enjoyed it. As I think we mentioned last time, you thought it was like a same game as like...
Yeah, I did. I thought it was the same game as
totally different.
But, you know, like had the cool yellow cartridge as well.
Yeah.
But you told me, oh, no, they're not. So I actually got the Japanese ones because they're in the box. They're a bit cheaper. But I figured there's probably no...
There's no
dialogue
text
or anything. Yeah.
Yeah, you just play it. In terms, so they had 1, 2, and 3. They're different games. I believe I'll also mentioned one game that I talked on the podcast like years ago now, and that was Donkey Kong 94, and that was pretty much a hybrid of the arcade game. Like,
I don't remember that one.
You play like four levels, and it's pretty much Mario trying to rescue Pauline from Donkey Kong. And then once you beat it, it just turns into like all these 98 levels of kind of crossover to Super Mario Land 2, and it's one hell of a game.
Is this like a real game, or is this something
you've dreamed up? No, it's on the Game Boy. It's called Donkey Kong. It came out in 94.
I've never even heard of it.
I'm not sure if it's gone up now, but yeah, I bought it many moons ago, and it's a very fun game. Like, I did not see it coming. Like, I just thought, it's just Donkey Kong Arcade, right? You beat it.
Hmm.
Then boom, jump into another game. And it's just levels of, I don't know, you probably played Super Mario Land. It's a fun game.
A very fun game.
Yeah, it's a lot of that.
And then we jumped to the 64, where we had Donkey Kong 64. Racing? Oh, no, it's a Donkey Kong special? No. We did have Diddy Kong Racing, yes.
And that's, we wouldn't have that without Diddy Kong, without Donkey Kong Country, because I was introduced to Diddy Kong, but pretty much then, I'd say Donkey Kong 64, and this is a game that I bought, was gifted to me by my mother, very close to release, just after release. It came with the expansion pack. I think I got it for Christmas. I played so much of this game, and it just got very challenging when you're trying to collect everything, because you've got to play, as we discussed, you've got to play every level over and over again with different characters just so you can get their bananas, get their tokens, get their balloons. And we mentioned the characters before that are in the game, but very fun game, and the intro is just the best.
Yeah, it's the best intro. It was voted by this show.
By the show, yep.
To be the best intro ever in the history of gaming.
Yep.
Yeah, we got it. I think my brother got it for his birthday. Not really sure, but remember playing the first little section, watching the movie, and then I was like, oh, cool, it's going to be like the Super Nintendo game, but in 3D, and it's going to be like, you know, we go through the world and there's the snow section, there's this section. Nothing like it. It was basically Super Mario 64 meets Banjo-Kazooie. First of all, you go up the hill. The grandmother from the third one's dead, or, you know, Is it the grandma or the Cranky Kong? I don't know. One of them's dead. That was a bit of a shock. She's talking to you. And then, yeah, so you're doing that and you go through the worlds and you got, gee, I can't even really remember, man. I know the first level plays pretty similar to like a jungle theme level.
Yeah.
But it's been so long. And like, as I said, I've only just started playing it. So I'm not really sure. But I believe there's like a desert level as well.
Yeah, look. To be honest, knowledge isn't I haven't good. Played it since 99, 2000.
Yeah.
What are we, 23, 24 years? That's crazy.
Yeah, so it has been a long time, geez, now that I think about it. But I did end up getting a copy because we sold our 64 and that was all gone. But I remember getting a copy, geez, when I was probably like 18, 19, mm-hmm. like when we sort of started to collect again and playing through probably maybe a quarter and, just over a quarter of it and finding it pretty difficult.
Yep.
The controls were quite difficult and just sort of giving up a little bit on it.
Fair enough.
Because it was at a stage where there was just, where we had more access to different consoles and games and you sort of just moved around a bit.
Yeah.
To be honest, while we had it, I was probably playing the older ones more than I was playing that one. I struggled with a lot of the boss fights too. I never really got it in terms of the skill to beat the levels.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't know.
I personally did all right with it. Like, I don't know, you see me play Banjo-Kazooie, beat the witch, Gruntilda. I was always pretty good with those early 3D games. Oh, and another thing, it had the multiplayer. Did you ever play that?
That's right. Yeah, it did. Yeah, I did. We played a lot of that, actually. Like, you're shooting with Donkey Kong's coconut gun and things like that. And that was a good aspect of it.
That was a good addition.
Yeah. Gee, I wouldn't have even remembered that unless you brought it up.
Like, it was. I only remember just playing with my stepbrothers. Lots of fun.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a lot of fun, the multiplayer. Like, that's what they got right with the 64, though. A lot of those games, you know, Mario Kart, GoldenEye, whatever it was, just they really got that aspect right. Did Banjo-Tooie have multiplayer?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
I know Conker's did.
Yeah, Conker's was pretty good too.
Yeah.
I'll try to, as the show goes on, I'll try to play through a bit more of Donkey Kong and update on how we're going, because it is, although I did play it once or twice, it was many moons ago, so.
I would love to get a recap of it, and because, as I said, it's been 21 years since I played it, 20 years.
Yeah.
Then, like, going down a couple of years down the track, we had the GameCube come out, and I was I was waiting for something good from, like, Rare and, like, Nintendo, and we were getting Donkey Konga 1 and 2 with the drums. I'm like, what is this? Where's my platform gone?
I think there's a third one in Japan, Donkey Konga.
They had a Jungle Beat as well, and they had, like, another one that was a Japan-only game, but...
I remember seeing it at Video Games Heaven, and didn't you control the character with the drums or something?
That's correct, yeah.
Did you have that?
No, I didn't. I remember, like, mentioned it last time, Dick Smith Powerhouse.
Yeah.
I remember that's where I got a lot of my gaming news from as well, and I just saw it, and I'm like, Donkey Kong, yes, they brought out another one. And I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, I know. Like,
so what, disappointed.
They really shot themselves in the foot with that stuff because it was in Super Smash Bros.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just was strange. Why they made some really strange choices with the GameCube.
Yeah.
Even with the 64, really, they did. I could be wrong here, but 64 felt like it was towards the end of the 64's lifespan, maybe.
Oh, yeah, it definitely was. Because the, like, 64 came out in 96, I'd say.
Yeah.
And this was way towards the end. So 99, you would have had maybe two more years, and then the GameCube came out, I'd say.
Yeah.
Then we had a return to form with Donkey Kong Returns on the Wii.
Yeah.
I bought this on release as well. I beat the game. Like, I'm like, yes, finally. Like, this is Donkey Kong Country, the game I loved, but, like, new. Did you play this one?
I didn't, my man. I think I have it on the DS. I think it was, the 3DS. I think it was released on that as well.
Yeah.
But it was back to the original style of the side-scrolling game type, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's Donkey Kong Returns, and it was, like, pretty much, like, number one with Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong.
Yeah, pretty much. And they introduced like elements where you had to use like the Wii remote on this one. So you had to, you know, shake it up and down to do, like, I believe it was for Donkey Kong to smack his hands on the ground.
Yeah.
To like injure the enemies, and then you can bounce on them on their stomachs to get a little bit higher.
Mm.
You know what they did with the Wii, everything had to do something. But
yeah,
like at first I hated it because I'm like, I don't like these little interactions with the Wii remote. I just want to play like I used to.
Yeah.
It turned out to be, once you get the hang of it and process what's going on with the new things, yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I did play it once, I think, for like 10 minutes. Not too much longer than that. was there a second one on the Wii?
No, there was just that one. And then the follow-up was Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze.
Yeah, see, I played that one and I completed that. And that was a
Yeah, I completed really that one. It was a nightmare too. But yeah, once, as you said, fun game.
And you know what? It didn't have any of that stupid control stuff in it where you had to do a certain, you know, thing. It was just, that's the best part about Wii and Wii U games, is when there's none of this sort of like, you have to use the alternate controls to play it.
I agree.
They're the best ones. And yeah, I did. I beat Tropical Freeze. That was really fun. I remember just sort of getting up in the morning on a Sunday, getting like a Red Bull or something, chilling out in the back couch and just playing it, and how colorful and cool it was.
It was a very colorful game, yeah. But very difficult. You had to, like, build up your lives. That's how I did it. Like, as much as you could to get to that final boss at the end. Because, yeah, he took me out so many times. And then I had to go back and then try and beat him. And I really didn't want to go back to the checkpoint because there was one level I struggled with. And I was getting down to the final couple of lives that I had banked up. And I finally beat him. I think my wife, girlfriend at the time, now my wife, she was there and she just saw me going off the roof. I was just yelling, yes!
He's done it? Yeah, I totally agree. I remember watching YouTube videos about timing and things. I think it's like a giant walrus or something.
I think it is.
And I think I was playing as Dixie to beat it, which made it a little bit easier with the jumping. I can't really remember. I think I played as Dixie and because you can do like the super move. Remember that?
Yes, like I do.
So that's actually a game. The thing about beating a game like that, that's very difficult. You want to go back and play it again because you feel like you conquered it a little bit. You're like, yeah, I could do it.
Yeah.
But probably be absolutely terrible at it now. But yeah, it was a very, very fun game.
And that game came out in 2014 originally.
Had it on the Switch as well. They re-released it.
Yeah, I don't, I've got it on the Wii U and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's how, I beat it on the Wii U. And I wish they kept, we've already gone over this. Like, besides, what game did you mention? Star Fox, that's the only game that's on the Wii U that hasn't been ported over to the Switch.
Yeah, there may be others, but that's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, like, I totally forgot about that one. But yeah, that's what annoyed me about the Switch, because it made the Wii U just like, it was just a forgotten console. Like, we both cherished it. Like, I know you did definitely because you bought it when released. And it took me years of you like convincing me, yeah, buy it. Then I got it at a good deal secondhand. And then I'm like, this is a great console.
Well, yeah, it didn't really have a lot of stuff on it. That's like the Wii. That was when I worked at Meijer, and people would ask, you know, I was actually thinking about that today. How funny. Like, I was walking past EB Games today, and I was just, I was looking at the games, and I was like, I wonder if anyone ever comes in and says, have you got any 360 games? Because when I was at Meijer and, you know, the Wii launched and the Xbox was on Xbox 360 and stuff, people would come in and be like, do you guys have any Game Boy games? And it's like two generations before. But yeah, like the Wii U, everyone used to complain about the Wii not having any games. Now, it did, but you had to sort of search for them and you know, uncover them yourself. Whereas the Wii U, it didn't have a great deal of exclusives, and it almost feels like it was a holdover console because you got to the Switch and then all of a sudden all those games were already on the Switch anyway. So it sort of, for those who liked the Wii U, sort of ruined it for us a little bit.
Exactly, yeah.
In terms of Donkey Kong, that was a great game. And then obviously, it came on the Switch. I didn't play it on the Switch, but we had Donkey Kong in Smash Bros., which was cool. I think we had Diddy Kong as well.
Yep.
That's it for now. We haven't got any more Donkey Kong games.
There's one coming out next year. Isn't it? No. It's Mario vs. Donkey Kong, and that comes out on February 16th.
Yeah, that's a remake of the DS game.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, it's actually the one thing I researched before we did this. So that's a remaster or remake, reimagining of an old game. I did play The King of Swing, which is a very difficult game to master for me.
Was that on the DS?
Might be on the Game Boy Advance.
Okay.
But I've got it on the Wii U, so played a bit of that. But, again, not really up there with the titles we've discussed.
Yeah. There was more, but the ones that we mentioned, they were, like, the key games.
Hmm. But it's disappointing. You know, why couldn't we ever have this? We see it with not just the movies of the Mario world and stuff and the universe around that, and Donkey Kong's in that movie, and they're probably thinking about making a Donkey Kong movie now, series or whatever, but why aren't we seeing, and this is something I'll always ask, but why aren't we seeing these worlds and these universes expanded into 3D worlds like Zelda?
I like the 2D sort of game, but that's why I'm excited for Mario Wonder.
Don't you feel that it relegates it to be sort of like Mega Man, whereas Mega Man has so much to offer? They did a couple of 3D games, now it's just the side scrolling like the originals.
Because
I mean, how successful was Donkey Kong 64? It seemed to be pretty successful to me.
I enjoyed Mario Odyssey. I thought that was really good, and that was kind of like 3D. Maybe they should try it again. I don't know. Who knows
Maybe they just don't see the point in doing that with these titles. Like, who's going to play that?
Yeah, potentially. It's all about money.
It is. It's interesting to discuss, because it's, to us, it'll be like really cool, like a 3D Donkey Kong game that maybe it was a sequel to. I wouldn't like it if it was a remastered version of the 64. I probably wouldn't love the idea, but if they made a completely new one, that would be pretty cool.
I agree.
But anyway, that's it for my Donkey Kong sort of points.
that's a good way to wrap up the show for tonight. We had a bit of a good discussion about classic character Donkey Kong, how he started to where he is now. Yeah. All right, everyone, you can find the show on Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon. You can listen to some of the older episodes on YouTube as well. You can find Scott's Instagram page, Melbourne Retro, or I believe it's Melbourne Risen Collector. Could you correct me there?
Yeah, melbourne.retro is the handle. I don't know what. Can you search for the? That's just what I have in my as my username.
I believe you can.
Oh, Melbourne Resin Collector or something like that. Yeah, that's what it is at the moment. So if you want to check out what I've been collecting. I'm trying to post a bit more gaming stuff as well.
That's all right. People who listen, they like pop culture. Yeah. And you can also find on the Power On Retro Gaming on Facebook and Instagram as well. And Power On.
They were game collectors. And they were the best of pals. Talked about a podcast. And now they're here to fill your hour. Power On. Retro Gaming Podcast. Power On. Retro Gaming Podcast. Power On. Retro Gaming Podcast.